morning again. You can grab a seat. So if you've been tracking with us over the last couple months, we've been in a series, The Influence of Jesus, and looking at his work in our lives as we looked at the story of Paul when he was in Athens and the burden that God gave him for the people of Athens as he walked around, looked around, saw the idols, saw the brokenness, and God stirred his heart and compelled him into engaging with the people, sharing the gospel. And we unpacked the narrative in Acts 17, and then we've been having some conversation and sharing some of the burdens that God has given us on our team and how that's shaped our lives and ministry. And so last week you guys heard from Jeff and Carrie McLeod, and this morning we get to have some conversation with Gareth. And so we're excited to hear from you this morning. Yeah, give him a hand. We all love Gareth. And so Gareth is our seniors pastor. And we're going to talk a bit about that today, but we know you weren't always a seniors pastor. So share us a snippet of your journey and how you ended up here and some of the highlights that have led you here.
Okay, this is interesting. I'm not used to sitting comfortably on stage when I have to speak. I feel like I should be wandering a bit more, but anyway, I feel sorry for this group here. There's lots of seats over here if you want to shift over.
It's actually not that comfortable, but hopefully we make it look comfortable for all of you as we have this cozy chat together.
There you go. I'll turn myself a little bit there. There you go. I was going to just lie down on a couch and just be a real senior and have a nap. So anyway, I've been in ministry for over 38 years, in pastoral ministry for over 38 years. I came here to Ontario. Thank
you. Almost as long as I've been gone. Not quite, but not far off.
I've been in Ontario since 1989, and I came to Ontario. I think there's the next picture. Let's see if we got the picture here. There we go. That's Gail and I on the left-hand side there. Yes, I did have dark brown hair at one point in my life.
And a great pair of glasses.
Exactly. So that was 1989 when I came as youth pastor over at the Kitchener site. And for those of you who don't know, it's kind of ironic that now in my 35 years later, I am now pastor overseeing seniors, both here as well as at the Kitchener site, taking care of the parents of those who used to be in my youth group. Talk about a full circle, and what a joy that really is. I'm going to be focusing on builders and boomers and my passion for builders and boomers. And for those of you who don't know what builders and boomers are, builders are basically those who were born in 1949 or earlier. 1946 or earlier. So how many here have been born in 1946 or earlier? Okay. There we go.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. These are the people who laid the foundation for the next generation to be able to build upon. And those are the boomers. It was because there was the baby boom after the war ended. So from 1946 all the way to 1964, that's kind of the boom area. And I happen to be a 55er. I'm right in the smack dab in the middle of that. Let me go back. I grew up in Manitoba at an early age, I was going to say, but I won't say that. I grew up in Manitoba on a farm. And my parents, they went to church every Sunday. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this in a message or not, but I think it bears repeating here. When I was 10 years old, I became a Christian at age 8-ish. When I was 10 years old, my Sunday school teacher, we had Sunday school and then we went up to the service and kids had to sit through the service. We didn't go out. So anyway, before going up, my Sunday school teacher's name was David Martins. He says, "Gareth, just hang back a bit. I have something I want to say." And I thought I was in trouble. But he said, you know, I pray for all of the boys in my Sunday school class every day. I pray for you guys. But when I'm praying for you, they'll cry. That's why I brought this up. He says, when I pray for you, God keeps telling me that he's going to call you into ministry. I wanted to be a pilot. Like, you know, that's as far away from being a pilot as I could get. And I was terrified by that. And I couldn't wait to get upstairs because I'm going like, I got to get something else in my mind. I don't want to hear that. And yet years later, after being on the farm for a good number of years as a married couple and working with my father-in-law, God called me again, kicking and screaming, into ministry. And we left in 1984 to go to Fresno, California to study at the Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary there. And then 3 years we spent up in Williams Lake, BC as an associate pastor there, overseeing youth and young adults. I wasn't supposed to be in worship ministry, but the worship leader guy ended up moving away. And because I played guitar, it fell into my lap. And so I learned how to do worship ministry because I had to. And there was a lot of prayer and a lot of, oh God, oh God, oh God, if you don't come through, this is not going to work. But I was there for 3 years, and then God, again, called me. There's a lot of kicking and screaming in my... kicking and screaming to Ontario because I was in BC. And, you know, Ontario is really beautiful. I've grown to really love it. But at the time, it wasn't on my top 5 places to go to and live. So, sorry. But hey, I'm pretty much one of you now after 35 years. I came to the Kitchener site as a pastor of youth and young adults. And in that time there, God enabled me to really engage in a lot of the young people's lives and see them flourish in their work with Christ. And then in 1994, I left the ministry of youth ministry, and I started my own, I became my own charity case. I formed a charity called Make Us Holy Ministries, and I worked for the next 21 years with that ministry, traveling in Canada, U.S., and South and Central America, working with schools, Christian schools and universities, mission organizations, a lot of churches, and in the area of worship, prayer, and discipleship. And
that was actually how I first met Garrett. This would be about 20 years ago or so, and I was doing some of my first short-term missions with what is now Multiply. It was YMI at the time, and Gareth was coming and doing worship ministry and training and leadership with our teams as we were going down to Mexico and South America. And so I had the gift of connecting with Gareth as a young adult and Gareth teaching me about worship, and not even just worship in English, but also worship in Spanish.
Yeah.
Because that was a part of your ministry.
For those que hablan en español, yo no puedo, no, how do you say, I didn't know how to speak. Yo no puedo comprender. Eso. Okay. I couldn't speak in Spanish, but I learned how to sing Spanish worship because I was concerned that the people, these English-speaking people going into Mexico, had something with which they could connect with the people. And music is something that's easier to sort of catch on to. And so sometimes young people would go into homes that they were being billeted at, and the only thing they knew how to do was to sing in Spanish. But it made a connection, and it blended hearts together. And that was part of the reason why years later I ended up spending 3 months studying Spanish. Obviously not that well. But studying Spanish because I really wanted to be able to understand what I was saying to people when I communicated with them. So, and yeah, you know, part of what we're talking about here is what is our passion. And so I know one of the questions I was asked, what is your passion? And I think throughout all of these things that I've sort of outlined, my passion has been to be a light of Christ for people, no matter who they are. And I've had the opportunity to be a youth pastor. I've had the opportunity to be a worship pastor. I've had the opportunity now to be a seniors pastor, or pastor for seniors and pastoral care. I think I've covered kind of like most of the bases, but the heart is still the same. The heart is to make Christ known and emboldened and emblazoned on your hearts, so that other people go like, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but man, I want to get to know what drives you. What a profound thing to have asked. And whenever that question is asked, I'm always absolutely gobsmacked, because it's sort of like, oh, well, that's easy. It's easy. It's Jesus. Jesus is the passion of my life. There's a passage of scripture, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. And Paul writes this, and I think for me, it demonstrates my heart. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. There's a heart that Paul is trying to communicate to his churches, to say, yeah, I know you're going through challenging times, but remember that the goal isn't just for this life. We have a goal that far outweighs them all. And so press on, keep pushing through, keep being those change agents and those examples of who I am, who Christ is, so that people understand that even after we've gone, there is a legacy that has been left behind. And so for me, that it's part of that burden that I have, is that burden to make Christ known and to see people excited about who Jesus is in their lives, and finding ways to just brag about a great friend. You know, who of us doesn't have, a good friend that did something awesome and we just want to tell people about it? Well, Jesus is the same way. I want Jesus to be in that same position, that we can as much boast about who he is in us as we can boast about people have done awesome things in our life and for our lives, like this David Martins at age 10 who spoke that profound word to my life.
Gareth, I love that. That's just like so beautiful. What a beautiful vision for every single one of us. And so for you in this season, as you find yourself here at WMB now, how has this passion shaped your burden for, as you said, builders and boomers?
Yeah, for me, it's, I hope to be able to be used by God to be an example for others. I know that passage of scripture where Paul says, you know, if you need an example, follow me as I follow Christ, sort of thing. That's always a terrifying verse for me, because, I know how many mistakes I make. And to invite someone to follow my example is like, but to say, follow my example as I do my best to follow Christ, it does a couple of things. Number one, it helps people realize that I'm not perfect. And so they don't have to be perfect before they start following Jesus. You know, this passage that we've been sitting on in Acts chapter 17 for the last month, is a lot about evangelism and how Paul engaged with the people. I'm not an evangelist. Adam, a couple of weeks ago, talked about this guy who could, you know, toss a person into the river and the fish would come out praising the Lord and all that sort of stuff. Well, I know that same person. And I worked with him for 12 years with Youth Mission International. And there wasn't hardly a flight that he would go on where he hadn't led someone to the Lord by the time he got off the flight. And I used to always feel really guilty, because I sat with lots of people, I talked to lots of people. Not one person was led to the Lord because I sat and talked with them. I'm not an evangelist. And for a while there, I really, really tried to be, and it always fell flat on its face. Until God finally demonstrated to me, he says, don't try to be who I have not called you to be. I tend to be a person that scatters seed. A couple of examples. This is a plane a plane example, an example of a person I met on a plane. This is a number of years ago. I was in California doing ministry with a bunch of churches and a pastor's retreat there for 8 days, morning, afternoon, and evening, because pastors love to pack their days full. And I was worn out. I was, you know, I was spent. I was looking forward to the flight home, which was an overnight flight, to doing a couple hours reading and then getting a nice long nap before we got back. And the plane was not very full, and so there was a lot of empty rows. And so when I got on the plane, I waited until the very last call, got on the plane, and none of the exit rows were filled. Like, both exit rows and the seats behind and in front were empty. And so I thought, thank you, Jesus, you have provided this for your servant who has worked so hard. You've provided this wonderful spot of seclusion so I could just read my book.
I hear a butt coming.
Well, before they closed the door, the steward said, we're just waiting. A person's plane was late, and he's being run over here. So we'll just wait for him, and then we'll push back. So sure enough, he comes in with all the empty seats that are available. Yeah, he sat beside me. Anyway, they closed the door, and we're pushing back, so I couldn't get up and move. That would be a little bit rude. But anyway, I thought, once we get in the air, I'll just say, you know, sorry, I'm really tired. Anyway, but the guy started talking, and he was the chatty guy, and he started talking about everything. And I went like, oh, my goodness. I made my answers very short. So are you going home or you're leaving home? Said, home. No. Oh, really? Were you gone long? No. And then put my nose in my book. Get the hint, buddy. Get the hint. Anyway, he didn't get the hint. He kept on asking questions. So finally, in my heart, I'm going, okay, God, if you really want me to talk to this guy, when he asks the question, if you're a pastor, is a question that is a conversation killer. And that's, so what do you do? Yeah. And normally, if I want to have a conversation, I says, well, you know, I work with a worldwide organization. You know, we've got chapters all over the world. We got an amazing boss. He literally lays life down for you. Our retirement plan is out of this world. But this time I went nuts to that. If he's asked the question, I'm just going to say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian pastor. You know, I'll put as many adjectives in there as I could just to turn him off and shut him up. It didn't work. So he says, well, you know, I've never met a pastor before. You know, I've never, other than going for my wedding, I've never been to a church. But I'm a good person, he said. You know, I've been living with the same woman for 30 years. You know, I've never committed adultery. We have one daughter who, you know, she's never rebelled. We compost, we recycle. He was a very good person.
Checks it all off. I love it.
And then he said, what's this stuff about sin? You know, I keep hearing about sin and stuff. And I said, well, you know, Jesus wasn't someone who actually came to point out our sin. He came to bring us into relationship, like a friendship. And he says, well, don't you have lots of laws and stuff? And I says, yeah, there are laws. And he says, but the thing is, Jesus came to say that the law wasn't the purpose of him coming. He came to fulfill the law. And I said this, you know, there's over 200 and some laws in the Jewish scripture on food alone. But Jesus said, at regard to when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, you say that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, even if you've looked upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. And he started groaning. He says, oh, and he had an expletive. I guess I'm not as good a man as I thought I am. And for the next 4 hours of the flight home, we chatted about all kinds of things. He never made a decision to follow Christ, but I was able to give him my Bible, and we kept in touch for a little bit as best we could. I don't know what the end of the story is. Another story, but all that to say is sometimes God doesn't need you to close the deal, so to speak, right? Sometimes he just needs you to raise curiosity in the other person. We had a neighbor, across our street. He was a Canadian. She was an Irish lass, and I loved to listen to her. Her Irish lilt, it was wonderful. It was glorious, it was. One day, Steve was working on his motorcycle, and I went over to chat with him, and he was missing, or his number 10 metric wrench was broken, so I went and got mine, and we ended up chatting. And after a while, he said, "You know, my wife and I have been wanting to have a child. We've been trying for the last 6 years. And we've tried everything, in vitro fertilization and everything, but nothing's worked." And I don't know why he's telling me this, because we hadn't been talking about children. And then I said, "Well, Steve, I'm not sure you know or not, but I'm a man of prayer. And would it be okay if my wife and I prayed that you would become pregnant?" And he goes, "You'd do that for me?" Well, not for everybody, but, you know, your wife is Irish, so... Anyway, prayed for him. A few months later, he comes running over when I get off from work. He says, "We're pregnant!" And then later on, the night that his son was born, Gail and I were out walking, and he came across the street to tell us all the things. And then he says, "Would you pray for me? I don't know how to be a good dad, but I want to be a good dad." Again, they ended up moving back to Ireland. And we visited him in Ireland in 2017. He has a really open heart for God and the church. I'm not exactly sure where she is in that thing, in that area. But God used a number 10 metric wrench to start a conversation that led to prayer, that led to him understanding there is a God who listens to prayer, and there's a God who gives blessings to people who need it. Last example of me not being an evangelist. My hairdresser. Do you like my hair? About 2 years ago, the hairdresser I'd gone to for, you know, about 8 years retired, and so I had to find another one. And I find one, and my hairdresser is an immigrant from... where do they speak Portuguese?
Many different parts of the world.
Brazil. In South America. Brazil. Anyway. And because I speak Spanish, you know, Portuguese and Spanish, there's some similarities there. Anyway, we're chatting, and she does my hair, and she always wants to comb my hair this way. And I say, "No, my wife says my head looks like a bowling ball if I don't comb my hair back." So every once in a while, she'll comb it off the sides and see how nice that looks. Yes, but I need to please my wife. So. But anyway, we talk about all kinds of things, but oftentimes conversation happens about, you know, prayer or about the church or things. And this last time, 2 weeks ago, she asked, "So do Christians meditate?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but what do you mean by meditate?" She says, "Well, you know, there's people who they have crystals and things like this, and they meditate on the crystals and stuff." But he says, "I was going by a church, and it said meditation begins at 10 a.m. And it says, "Okay, well, those are two different kinds of meditations." And so I had this opportunity just to talk about that and how, for me, meditation is taking God's word and taking a few verses of scripture, spending time with it, like this passage from 1 Corinthians. And just going over it and over it in my heart and mind, and allowing God to use those words to influence and impact me. And she says, "I'm going to have to try to do that. What would be a passage of scripture that I could meditate on?" So I gave her Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." It says, "Oh, I've heard that passage before. I'm going to do that." So little by little, there's an opportunity just to love people, because winning people to Christ isn't about them getting them to sign on the dotted line. Winning people to Christ is loving them, coming into relationship with them, and letting God do the work. Because when I get out of the way, God does a better job of it. So.
That is a good word. And I love that, like, openness to where God has you in the moment and planting seeds. And even like you think of Paul in Athens, and he was only there for a short period of time. We don't know how short was, but he was just there for a time. And in that time, and we see at the end of the passage, a varied response to his word, but some of that would have been planting seeds. And that's some of the beauty of being a community that's got this mission mindset of living for Jesus together, because you plant seeds and somebody else will come and sow them and someone will harvest. And Paul teaches on that too. And it's that openness to, who is God bringing into our path today, and how does he want us to reflect in or share about him today? And that's a beautiful word. And so how about, speaking to our generation of seniors, and what's that invitation for them, Jesus' word and encouragement or vision for them today?
One of the things that, when you work with a particular generation that, let me start this off again. For many, many years, I was focused on people who were younger than I. And so I always felt I was younger than what everybody else thought I was. But anyway, for years, I focused on people who were younger. When I started working with seniors, I realized that some of the things I loved about working with the young people were also there among the seniors. And is Jesus still the answer for seniors? Absolutely, he is. When I worked with young people, there were, you had your junior youth and your senior youth. Well, you have your junior seniors and your senior seniors. You have different needs and you have different aspects of what are your concerns and where your energies are being expended. But just like youth or any generation, really, there are things about what's happening in our lives that cause concern and consternation. For those that are still working, you don't know the challenge and difficulty of leaving a job where you were, a manager, a person in charge, or whatever, and now all of a sudden, you're in charge of nobody. And nobody is asking you for information. Nobody's actually including you in conversations, and you feel like a has-been. That is incredibly difficult. And your identity all of a sudden becomes, I'm no longer that person anymore, that job title anymore, so then who am I? And I think as seniors, it's an incredible opportunity for us to be in that place to help people understand that our identity, although our job gives us a lot of identity, our identity can be placed in something which lasts forever, in someone who lasts forever. And we can point people to the fact that because I know that I am loved regardless what stage of life I'm at, I know that I am secure in that love. And I know that I can continue on. There have been people here, I can look around and I already noticed a number of you who have shared that passion of my identity being in Jesus. I've had a number of conversations with senior adults, some of them in their late 80s, who haven't darkened the church for many, many years. But because someone in the facility that they lived in shared their love of Jesus and the joy of knowing who they were in Christ, it caused them to think back to years and years ago when they were a young person going to Sunday school or whatever, and they left it long behind. And I've had numerous times to pray with people because one of you shared the love you had for Jesus with someone who was with an elder. Someone who's a senior. And so is Jesus still the answer? Absolutely. And in fact, for some seniors, they really want to know how to reconnect with Christ, but they don't know how because perhaps there was church hurt. They were wounded by an action or an inaction of the church. Perhaps there was a relationship that happened in which there was trouble and things fell apart. And so he just sort of pushed the whole wagon, and you said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And yet, in spite of that, Jesus wants to draw these people. I did a funeral. I've done lots of funerals. I did a funeral for someone who wasn't part of our church. He had five or six children, one of whom used to come to this church years ago. He was a very well-known businessman, had a roofing business that was in Canada, U.S., and in the U.K. And I was asked to do the funeral because I was the only pastoral connection that anybody in the family had because of the one person. And there again, one person went to a home group from this church way back when. That was the connection. And I had an opportunity to chat with the family about who this person was because I didn't know him. And one of the things I always ask is, talk to me about their faith, if they had faith or not, or why or why not. And they say, well, our dad, he loved to read the Bible. In fact, we'd find him reading, and he tried to model his business practices after what he saw in Scripture. But he never really went to church at all. He says he tried a couple of times when, and I don't remember the exact situations. One, I think, was when his wife passed away. But because he wasn't of that denomination, he was turned away. And because he wasn't part of any denomination, he was turned away. And another time, there's another situation where he'd gone to the church for help, and he had been turned away for whatever nefarious reason. As I was writing my message, I really felt God say, you need to ask for forgiveness for that. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't turn away. It's not my fault. So I left it aside. I wrote my nice message, and during the funeral, as sometimes happens, God surprises you by jumping on your shoulder and saying, okay, now would be a great time to say this. And I knew that I needed to follow. And so I gave reference to this man's faith or the lack of connection with the faith community. And I gave the two examples that had been given to me of how he had been turned away. And I said, as a pastor, I am deeply grieved by that happening to your dad. And I want to publicly ask for your forgiveness. Yeah, the same thing happened. Anyway, I sort of teared up. And then I went on with the thing. They had the reception at the Legion Hall just down the street. And I went to there, and I had a lineup of people wanting to talk to me and ask me about why would you do something like that? And what kind of God do you serve that makes you willing to people that you don't know to ask for forgiveness for something you didn't do? There is times where people need to see humility and vulnerability from our leaders so that they can actually trust in what you're saying because you have chosen to be vulnerable with them and open. There's been many times in my ministry here where I have been open and vulnerable with my seniors. And as a result, I've had people come to me and share the struggles that they're going through because I was vulnerable, sharing about being a father of three amazing, awesome kids, but only one of them is actively engaged in the church, and how that we still pray regularly that God will bring them back into a vital relationship with him. They're not against God, but they just don't have time for God, and how that grieves my heart, and how when I see grandkids that aren't being engaged in the discussions of what happens downstairs with Pastor Derek, well, he's not there today, but it grieves my heart. And I've had so many seniors talk to me about their kids or their grandkids, and sometimes their great-grandkids, and their concern that they have for them, because they know that I understand what they're feeling. And that part is an amazingly beautiful aspect of being a minister of the gospel, where I don't have to be perfect, where I can actually be the person God made me to be, warts, wrinkles, and all, with my mistakes as well as with my successes. Because that's who each of you are. You're people who have had lots of success, but you've also had lots of, well, maybe not lots, but some failure in your life. Seniors also need to know that you care for the journey that they're on. And that you're open to walking with them through there and trying to understand, even if you do. And here's something I'll sort of throw out for all the generations that aren't seniors. You know, one of the things that most seniors grieve about is that with all the wealth of experience that they have gained over numerous transitions and transformations in their life, they rarely get to share with a younger person from the wisdom of perspective. I'm looking at Brad and Leah here, but anyway, I'm looking at all of you. There's incredible joy in being able to be used by God to speak perspective. It doesn't mean to say that we got everything as far as technologically worked out in today's, you know, chat GPT era. But we do have a perspective on how life change happens and how it impacts how we live that you only ever gain through years of walking it. You never gain by reading a book. You get some of it, but not like you do by talking to someone who's journeyed the journey. So young people, be those people that actually ask the question. Sidle up beside a gray-haired folk and say, tell me a little bit about yourself. I'm curious. You are going to make one senior really, really happy and terribly nervous. But you know what? If you invite them out for coffee, they'll probably end up buying you a snack afterwards. So, because they want to share. They want to be able to be engaged and encouraging, especially young people of faith, being able to talk about some of the areas of life. And seniors that are listening to me say this, and you're going like, that means you too have to be vulnerable and be willing to talk about the errors and the mistakes you have made, maybe are still need help in not making today. They want to see that happen. And seniors, I'll say the reverse too. Don't just wait for the young people to come. If God puts your eyes on someone, sort of says, that person is going someplace, or that person looks like they need a friend, go up to them and say, hey, I'd like to get to know you. And they'll be the ones that are going like, it's an old person, what do I do? Well, that depends. No, anyway.
You know, Gareth, ironically, I think you've actually used ChatGPT more than I have. But I love what you're saying, and there's something unique about a church community that makes so much of that possible. And even I was talking to a home group leader earlier this week, and their group, which is currently mostly seniors, and probably some of you who are listening to me right now, and they were saying they really want to connect with a small group of youth or young adults. And I was like, that's awesome. And so youth and young adults, if that's caught your interest, we'll connect after. But we have this beautiful gift of being a community across all generations. And I think if I go back to my young adult days, so about 20 years ago, right around when I first met Gareth, and my first mission trip was a group of us college students in our early 20s. We went down to Mexico to Penda Vida Orphanage, and our team was a bunch of us in our early 20s, and then a retiree that I know a lot of you will know, Paul McPherson. And Paul and Jean are longtime members of this church. Paul is no longer with us, but we loved having Paul. Would have been in his 60s, I think, at this 60s or 70s, and we loved having him on our team, and he was right there in on everything with us. But after that trip, like for years, the group of us young adults would just constantly talk about how much we loved that time with Paul and how much we learned from him and drew from him. And it wasn't that, you know, he was doing a bunch of teaching or instruction, but he was just Paul for who Paul was at this stage of life. And just having that friendship with him. And I remember things like how he would talk about Jean and his wife and his marriage. And at that time, all of us were single. And we're all like, yeah, like when we're married, like we want to be like Paul and Jean. And that was such a gift to us. And many similar examples since. And even Gareth to a lot of us on our staff team. And Gareth, you're such a significant part of part of our team in this season. And I mean, you bring all the seniors' humor that makes you perfect for your role. He also brings ice cream cakes on a regular basis. I'm sure that's no surprise.
It's my Achilles heel.
What you know, Gareth, he loves his ice cream. But you also just bring so much wisdom in the stories, just like you've shared, a humility born out of wisdom and decades of walking with Jesus, and it's such a gift to us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's also an honor and a privilege, and I don't know how many more years I can do this. I'm 69, and I have no desire to retire, because retirement to me is just sort of like, well, what would I do? But anyway, let's move to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 17 to 18, King David writes this. He says, "Since my youth, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts for all who are to come." To me, that's one of my hopes, my dreams, is to be a part of encouraging my seniors, but more than that, all of you, to keep on seeing that you have something that is cherished and valuable to pass on to another generation. And that comes through telling the story and sharing the story of what God's doing with others. One example, I had a gentleman come call from our seniors and asked me to come over and to pray with them. He was going through some health issues and just asked if I would come and anoint with oil and pray. And so I did, and just ended up talking with him this morning. And he says, as far as I know, it's still gone. So, hallelujah. But it just didn't stay there. A little while later, I happened to drop in with him to another senior's home unannounced. I know some seniors don't like that, but I'm going, hey, if I come to see your house, I'll call ahead. But I dropped in because he had been struggling with mobility issue. And so I dropped in just to see, because I was in the area, dropped in to see how he was doing. And I asked if I could pray, and he says, yeah. I talked to this other person who said, I needed to ask you to pray because Gareth's prayers work. Well, I don't know if my prayers work, but I know that Jesus does. And so I said, well, absolutely. I'm always glad to pray for people. And so I asked if I could pray, and he says, yes. And I prayed. A little while later, asked him, how's it going? He says, you know, almost, I don't know about right away, but very shortly after, the pain left. And there's still some numbness occasionally, but the pain that just debilitated me was gone. He says, but now I have pain on my other side. Well, we could pray for that too. But why I share that example is not, I'm not the one who heals, it's God who heals. But I want to give praise to God because one of our seniors experienced something from God that was a blessing, and he shared it with someone else who needed a blessing. And if we do that for each other, it's not I use the example of healing, but it might be because of encouragement, but about loneliness. It might be because of a death in the family. It might be because of errant children or wayward children or whatever, or grandchildren, whatever it happens to be. But as we work with each other and we talk with each other, we share the blessing of what God is doing, and it encourages us to believe, as seniors or anybody, to believe that maybe God could do that in me and for me. Because as it says on the screen, I want to see all generations, not just seniors. I want to see all generations come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the one who they don't just commit to at one point in the past, but who they live for each and every day, that their life might be more reflective of who Jesus is tomorrow than it is today. So that not only can they live life well, but they can also finish well. That's a bit of my mantra as I'm into my late 60s and heading into the next decade or decades, whatever, is God, help me to finish well. Help me to keep short accounts that when I do err and sin, and I do, I will do whatever I can to reconcile and bring back into right relationships so that not only I can finish well, but whoever I might have wounded can also finish well, that there's not that seed of resentment or whatever there because I chose not to deal with it. So hallelujah that we are... Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Marlene.
I'll get your $5 to you. No, that was unsolicited, but thank you so much. I'm going to put a little plug in.
Okay? Go ahead.
Talking about seniors, young adults getting together. In August, Sunday, August the 11th, young adults and seniors are going to have a backyard barbecue at our home in Breslau. And so... Yeah, talk it up. Get excited about it. Bring games. We got an open park around us that we got lots of space, etc. And seniors, start looking at someone who looks like they might be a young adult. You'll probably end up they're actually like in their 30s, but that's okay. You know, touch base with a couple of young adults and say, "Hey, are you going to come? Because I'm going to come." Young adults, needle some seniors and say, "Have you been out to one of the barbecues? I hope you're going to be there." They say, "Well, I haven't been to any." Now's a good time to start, right? Okay, that's my plug for today.
And those of us who are neither young nor old...
Forget it.
We have something... Yeah, forget it. Someday. Well, thank you so much, Gareth, for sharing your heart and who you are with us today. You really are a gift to this whole congregation.
Thank you.
And Gareth has given us a beautiful invitation. And as we've been sharing these burdens and passions that God has given us, as we're walking with Jesus and living that out, he's given us one another. And we all have something to offer one another. And we all need one another. None of us can do this on our own. And we each have that piece that God has invited us to play in his big story. And then he's given us one another to do that together. And to do that across generations. And what a beautiful vision that is for all of us. And so be encouraged and be hungry and open to the ways that God has placed you here and the people he's placed around you in this church and then well beyond the walls of the church and the ways that he wants to use you as an encouragement and an example of Jesus to them and the ways that he's placed people around you to encourage and teach and strengthen you, and we do this together.
Yeah.
And next week, we wrap up our series with Baptism Sunday, and so we're so excited to hear some more testimonies from our congregation as we celebrate in baptism at both of our sites next Sunday, and so much to look forward to then, and if that's, if you've been hearing about baptism the last couple months, and you're like, you feel God tapping on your shoulder like Gareth has shared, and you've been pushing, and maybe this morning is the time you say, "Yeah, okay, God, I'm going to take that step of obedience," and we'd love to connect with you. But now as we close in worship and the worship team comes up, Gareth, would you lead us in a time of prayer to finish
sure.
together?
Yeah, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that in every stage of life, you have been faithful. Thank you that at every stage of life, you have walked with each of us through the thick and through the thin. Thank you that no matter what age we are valuable in your eyes. And that you have something that you have shared with us that we can help be, that you can use us to help to encourage another person. And so God, no matter what age we're at, whether we're seniors, middlers, empty nesters, young adults, youth, children, babies, you have a passionate love for every one of us. Help us to be obedient to living life with eyes wide open and hands wide open that we might see where you're working and hands that are open to say, "Lord, use me in this way." so that no matter what age we are, we might be those who speak about the blessing that you have given to the next generation and encourage them in their faith so that they too would be able to encourage the generations coming after them. We ask this in the name of him who is more than able to do abundantly more than all that we ask or imagine. In Jesus Christ, for your glory, amen.